Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the masterclass to discuss how to bring book ideas to publication. The occasion for this is the award of the Bracken Bauer Prize, which is the FT and McKinsey award for the best business book proposal by somebody under 35, which was presented on November the 22nd to Nora Rosendahl, who joins us here with the other finalists, Scott Hartley and Igor Page. We are going to have a general discussion with our expert panelists, who will introduce themselves in a second, and then we will open to questions from the three finalists in the room. And we're also joined online by the listening shortlisted candidates for the Bracken Bauer Prize, with whom we'll have a separate off-the-record discussion afterwards. So if I could ask our panellists to introduce themselves. David, would you like to start?
Thank you. I'm David Young. I was a publisher for 45 years, retired at the end of last year, having worked in both London and New York. I now sit on the boards of three publishing houses, also on both sides of the Atlantic, to keep my hand in.
Lorella?
Hello, my name is Lorella Belli. I'm a literary agent. I set up my own agency 15 years ago after working for other literary agencies and publishers. And our agency handles fiction, non-fiction, and we specialise in translation rights.
Joel?
Joel Rickett, publisher at Penguin Random House, where I publish all kinds of non-fiction, including lots of business books and personal development books, as well as other things like sport and history.
Okay, so I guess what we will start with, and I'll ask the Bracken Bauer finalists to introduce themselves at the end when we're taking questions, but I think the overall question is where to begin. If you've got an idea, a book idea, a business book idea in this case, what's the starting point? Is it the agent? Is it the publisher? Is it some other means? Perhaps, Loretta, I'll start with you as the agent in the room.
I think it very much depends on the type of book and on the author and himself. So we're talking about specifically about business books here. So I would say that's, you know, we can call them business books, but we are going, you know, you can have a biography, you can have a reference book or something a little more specialist and niche. So I would say the very first thing probably to do is just really work out what you want to write, why you want to write it, who is going to read and buy your book. That will inform the decision as to whether you're better off approaching a publisher direct or maybe an agent. So if your book has got some kind of, it is a business book, but has got mainstream potential, so it, you know, will be read by probably people outside strictly the boardroom or people that are just interested in business book, then probably your best bet is to go via an agent first. One of the advantages is that at that point, you can also go to the agent with an idea, and then the agent will help you develop that idea, see if it's got legs, and tell you, probably help you to structure and make sure that you've got all the sections there that the publisher will need, you know, to consider before making a decision. So the very first thing is, I always say that writing a book proposal for non-fiction is a little bit like writing a business plan for your business. There are very many similarities. So when you are writing a business plan, you want either to attract investment to your business idea or enlarge your business. And when you're doing a non-fiction proposal for any non-fiction book, really specifically for a business book, then what you're trying to do is just get a publisher to invest in you. And right. An agent can help you to how to turn that into something that a publisher can respond to and hopefully make an offer for.
Okay, well, we'll come to the plan and what maybe should be in it or not in it. Funnily enough, when we do the Brackenbauer Proposal Prize, we do actually get some people who put in straight business plans, thinking that they're going to get through to business people by submitting. They generally don't get past the first filter. Joel, you're working for one of the world's biggest publishers. You must have a stack of unsolicited manuscripts that come in. Do people who want to attract your attention really have to have an agent before they get
to? No, they don't. Everyone thinks, I mean, I think if you're, it's different for me. But my colleagues who work in fiction, yeah, they're besieged by authors, and really the only way they can manage it is to use and rely on agents. Whereas, I mean, I have great relationships with agents and do lots of business through agents, but also am, you know, actually surprised by the few authors or potential authors that get in touch with me or my teams direct. And the ones that do tend to not kind of get it right. And we can talk a bit about that and the plan in a moment. But I actually think if it depends which stage you're at, as Narella said, if it's really a nascent idea that you really feel, I don't know anything about the kind of book this could be, I don't know really where my audience is, then an agent has a huge role to play in helping you shape that and find your way through, ultimately, through the industry to the reader. But in the business space particularly, a lot of people who want to write books do have a very clear sense already of their own audience, their own story, the idea that they're trying to project and who the readership is. And in that case, I would say, you know, I would encourage that. I think it's less about a sort of publisher-agent dichotomy than just finding the right champion and the right person to connect with, going to love the idea and seize on it and see the audience and see the potential. And that might be an editor, it might be an agent, it might be someone else who can help you get through that and navigate that. So I think, and as I say, I'm surprised by the lack of people that do that with us and actually reach out to say, you know, actually, this could be something for you, having looked at your list or looked at what you publish.
I mean, you hint at it at the end there, and perhaps, David, you can pick up there. If somebody really is at the start of this and they're not familiar with the world of publishing, is it as simple as going to a bookshop and saying, what are the books here in this genre that I like? Who's published them? Check the acknowledgements, find out who the agent or editor, or is that how you would look for names? It used to be that you'd go and buy the Writers and Artists yearbook and leaf through addresses, but maybe that's old-fashioned.
It's perfectly valid still, of course, doing it that way. I mean, there are websites which constantly update the best-selling business books on a monthly basis. There's a CEO business book site, and that would give you an indication of what's selling, what the titles, what the presentations are. And yes, you're right, some forensic work there, which wouldn't be particularly difficult, would yield a lot of insight into which agency to approach. I think the point that you made, Loretta, about if you're seeing your book having a really wide market, a crossover market, then I do think the agent route is the way to go. Interestingly, I spoke to one of the shortlisted Business Book of the Year winners last night, and she was saying that when she took her proposal to an agent in New York, she was asked to do 6 iterations of it and before it was sent out into publishing. And I imagine that was one of the reasons that she got onto that shortlist, because she put so much work into getting the pitch perfect.
I mean, that's, I guess, one follow-up question there would be, if you got something that was an ill-formed idea and you rejected it for being ill-formed, perhaps it's somebody who has come without an agent, would that person ever get a second chance with you?
Oh, I'd say so, yes. It depends what they do with it. But, yeah, I think if you go away and you say to someone, please reorganise it in this way, you're almost inviting them to return it to you if you put in that effort. And yes, you should take a look at it then.
Right. Lorella, how would you find an agent or the agent that you want if you feel like you need to go down the agent route as a budding author?
I mean, one, what you were mentioning earlier about, you know, doing your research either on, you know, publications directories that list agents or publishers. That's one way online you can find out. But I think one of the easiest ways probably to look, you know, if you are writing a book, a business book, you've done probably at that stage a little bit your research as to which other authors, you know, which publishers publish whom, and you can easily find out these days. Everyone has got websites or they're on social media. You can find out who are the agents that tend to deal with the type of books you do. And then my advice would be just ideally, if you want to meet, you know, try to meet them if possible, and approach several ones and just with your idea and see which ones you feel there is more compatibility. I think with the agencies very much, you are really have to think long term, because the relationship that you have, of course, with publishers is the same, but I think in terms of the agents, really you want to think long term. You might think, the agent will look at not just that particular book that you're writing. You will want to know why you're writing, what you want to get out of it in the long term, because that will inform the choices they'll make, whether when they're submitting to a publisher, when finding a publisher in the first place, what to offer to a publisher, what kind of rights to offer to a publisher, for example. If you have a book that is by an American author that is largely aimed at a UK, a USA audience, for example, a readership, you may want to try and get an American agent, for example. That's not necessarily, I mean, these days people work, you work with co-agents or you work direct. So
can,
it doesn't matter.
Can a UK agent work with US publishers, or is that rare?
The way, I mean, if you have an agent, your agent would, for example, if you are, the way we do it at the agency is we work with several American literary agencies because they specialize in different types of books. For example, some do fiction, some do non-fiction, some do more commercial, some more eyebrow. So what I'm always looking at is who is the best person in the US, amongst US agents, that has got the experience and is passionate about the book as much as I am. Sometimes we sell to American publishers direct, or sometimes you have, for example, if you're selling to Penguin Random House or if you're selling to Orion or one of the large groups, you may also want to consider selling to two different people belonging to the same house so you can coordinate. I mean, there's all sorts of things. But the important thing, the starting point, is what do the author wants to achieve long term, because really that will make a big difference.
Right. Joel, getting into the detail here a little bit, Is there a set way in which to present a proposal to you? I mean, our Brackenbauer Prize asks for an essay-length piece and then an idea of the structure of the book. It's not necessarily
There's elements of it, and there are some templates. I think some agencies have pages on their sites where they say this is how to put together a non-fiction proposal, so that's quite discoverable online. I think, for me, especially when we're talking about business books, but actually it applies to all authors, is not thinking about, first of all, not thinking about the publisher or the publishing deal as the end game, or indeed the end customer for their products, as it were, but thinking much more about the audience and the readership is crucial. And so we're, particularly in business books, we're looking at their existing profile or expertise, but also particularly their audience, who they're trying to talk to and why, whether they have a platform, as we call it, in that area already. In other words, whether that's social media, events-based...
Could be a blog,
media-based,
for example.
Could be a blog, yeah. Exactly. Ideally, all of the above, that demonstrate that they have an audience there that is receptive to those ideas, or it might be that they have a business that's connecting with those people in some way. And so that strand of the proposal, the approach, is really, really important, more important than for other areas of nonfiction publishing. And obviously the other key thing is to be able to communicate the idea clearly and succinctly and make it stand out in a few lines, because even though that might not yet be the final idea that ends up being published, you want to know that the author is able to at least think in that way, and able to understand that despite all their experience and all their knowledge and all of the ideas that they're going to be bringing to bear to this book, that they can also flip it and see it from the reader's side, which is, why do I want to read this? What's it going to offer me? And just make an attempt at being engaged with the world in that way, rather than being very blinkered and so lost in the weeds of their own their own ideas.
One of the tips I got from an agent when I made an unsuccessful attempt to pitch a book idea was that the proposal needs to show what the voice of the eventual book might be. So not just describing the book from the outside, as it were, but actually speaking in the voice of the book that's proposed. Does that sound right, David, to you?
Well, yes, I think you want to be able to determine whether your author can write. Writing a business plan is very different from writing a book that will hold attention over 300 pages. I think the importance of the title and the subtitle on a proposal is absolutely paramount. And
okay, that's interesting, because actually, with all due respect to our Brackenbauer entrance, the titles are sometimes not that great.
I think the title, well, there's one that just didn't work at any level, which you probably can recognise, but I think it's so important. If you just look at that business book's website, you'll see, I believe, how well the cover communicates what's going on inside that book, and that is basically down to the title and subtitle. It has to tell that story that Joel was saying. You have to be able to communicate to your audience that you've thought about why they should buy that book.
Right, and any examples in the world of publishing of titles that didn't work? I was told about a book that I was preparing of my columns that which I wanted to call Poetry and Plumbing. I was told you'll have to have leadership in it because otherwise it'll only be bought by poets and plumbers. Any examples of books that have not flown? Everyone's gone very coy here about the...
No, I'm just trying to think of it. It would be wonderful. I wish I'd had notice of that question. Yeah. I might come back to you in a minute because it would be delicious.
We'll come back to you. The question of how you then take the idea forward. We talked to some of our Brackenbauer finalists who had book proposals from taken up from previous year's prizes, and a lot of them were surprised by how much additional work they then had to do, really started once they got an agent or a publisher. Lorella, what would be the first thing you'd take a new author through? Let's say you've accepted their proposal is on the right tracks. What would they have to do next?
I mean, we do a fair bit of work on proposals, so I'm not surprised that you were referring to somebody doing 6-7 drafts. It all depends when you start working with somebody at what stage they're at with a proposal. For example, I understand in this case you've asked people to write an essay and then like basic structure of the work, which is obviously that's part of what you need to put in a proposal. But crucial for me is definitely the market analyze the market and find out what are you. You know, how big is the market? Really go in segments. Who is the primary audience for this? Who is the secondary audience for this? Give facts, give data, because publishers will respond. If you say, for example, that in your own, when you're describing your social media, for example, if you've got 1 million following or 100, it will make a difference. And that in across all types of books.
Catch 22 there. Sorry to interrupt. But I mean, because if you don't have that following initially.
No, but you can have a different. I'm just giving an example of how numbers, people respond to numbers. If you're writing for a newspaper that has a circulation of 100,000 or 1 million or 10 million, obviously it makes a difference because your name will be better known and you've got a different way that you can promote your book and market the book. So I would say when you have the first idea, you write your essay, you've done your structure, then the market analysis is fundamental. It's really important to see who is buying it, why they are buying it, where are they. And then another section that I think is really vital is marketing and promotion, which is really you can write the best book ever written in a beautiful voice and you've got all the elements there, but if people don't know it exists, so that's something again you have to put in a proposal, and you have to explain how is this book going to be found. What can the publishers do to help make the book be discovered, and what do the author can do, and the author is very important. Obviously you can have said nobody will know, just bear in mind nobody will know your book as well as you do, so the important thing is you put on paper all the things you know about the book that other people don't know. So it is, as an author, what are the things that you can do. So talking social media is one aspect, your business contacts, your endorsement, the number of endorsements, the quality of the endorsements, anything that a publisher could put on the cover, for example. You know, there's loads of examples of a cover on the title just lifts sales exponentially for certain authors. So if you have not time to be shy, just ask for endorsements where possible. And again, that's something to put there. And the other section that for me is really, really important in a nonfiction proposal is do an analysis, a comparative analysis of related titles or similar titles. This serves two purposes. One is definitely to show that you know what's already there on the market, but really focus is to find out what are the strengths or weaknesses of other books, or not necessarily weaknesses, but why is your book different? There are so many 10 books on leadership. Why are you writing yours? What can you offer people that is not already out there? So you identify that. At the same time, that really helps, and it helps with publishers to know you definitely know what you're talking about here, not just in terms of your subject matter, but how that is in the broader context, basically.
Right. Let me just get to the nitty-gritty for a second before we talk to the finalists. Joel, the question of money, is there money in non-fiction
Absolutely.
Business publishing?
Absolutely.
And if so, does it come in the form of an advance?
It can do, yeah. For the biggest, sexiest projects, the advances have been going up, actually, in recent years. But the more importantly, in a way, is the sort of ongoing money and the returns through the share of sales and royalties, which is really what I would encourage all authors to focus on, because, and this is where it comes to this idea of what you can do to and the publisher can do to help find the audience for the book in an ongoing way. And we see, particularly in business, the sales patterns of the books are very, very long term, of the books that really work and find that audience. And that's a blend of a lot of different factors, but many of our most successful titles in business sell more in year two than year one, and more in year three than year two. And that is because those are the authors who have put the book front and centre of what they do. They haven't just had an idea, written it in their evenings, carried on with their day job, and I hope that the book will go off and flourish. You know, that can work, but it has to be an absolutely extraordinary piece of writing. Whereas, you know, what we see, the longer term success comes from authors who put the book at the heart of whatever they do every day. The book is their own mission, and they connect almost everything they do around it back to the book, and whatever they do, whether it's writing, speaking, consulting, blogging, you know, it always leads, they're always constantly talking about the book or pushing people back through into the book and creating new readers and new attention that then people want to know more, and they find the book. And if they think about it in that way, then absolutely, you know, there's a really sustainable stream of income and revenue for that can grow, actually.
Right.
And then you build a sustainable writing career, and you have, you know, then the publisher wants another book, and you build a backlist, which can really sustain you for decades.
Right. Let me take some questions from the three finalists, and I'll start with Nora Rosendahl, who's the winner of this year's Bracken Bauer Prize with your proposal, Mental Meltdown. Do you have a question for the panel?
Sure. How do you see the publishing industry changing? Is there anything that writers, authors can do in the digital space, anything that to sort of, especially with younger readers, raise their interest in physical books?
David, do you want to take that one?
Well, the publishing industry has changed out of all recognition over the last 20 years, certainly in the last 10. And I think of all the industries that have been affected by digital, we've managed it the best. I think the way we manage the transition into e-books has been extremely good, particularly around back catalogues, as Joel says, because you're able to keep books in print that you can never do before in the physical space. Wonderful things are going on in young adult publishing, which bring readers in, all those readers of Harry Potter and Twilight and The Hunger Games have understood the joy of reading, and that's why I love what children's books publishers are doing, because they're making people understand the value of the printed page, be it in electronic or printed form. So, yes, there's so much. Joel was so comprehensive in his last answer. There's so much authors can do all of the time, right? They haven't finished their work when their manuscript's been accepted. They can continue absolutely working it. For a period in New York, I published a book by Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which was a massive franchise. He was basically teaching people how to make money out of real estate. But he lived, breathed, sold that brand, which produced around 15 or 20 books around it. You'll find him online. And absolutely, to what Joel was saying, he made it because it was in the cut him in half and you'd find Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You
know? I think there are lots of the new things with, you know, with digital media changing all the time. There's a huge number, you know, it's about seizing, you know, whether it's, you know, a TED talk, whether it's a Twitter profile, whether it's Snapchat, whatever it, you know, whatever the right forum and medium is, that the author's seizing it, using it creatively to draw people back towards their own writing, their own ideas, and then ultimately to the book in whatever format the book is in.
Right. Scott Hartley, another of our finalists, your proposal was called The Fuzzy and the Techie. Do you have a question?
My question is about intellectual property. So my background is in venture capital, and oftentimes when people come in to pitch a company idea, they're conscious of, this is my idea, it's guarded, it's secret, I don't know that I want to let the cat out of the bag quite yet. What are your thoughts around, you know, should you shout from the rooftops and talk to many agents? Should you talk to many publishers? Should you just sort of sniper your way into one or two as you think about, how do you think about the intellectual property if you have sort of a framing that could be taken and, you know, if published by somebody else, could sort of let it out before you have a chance to really wrap your arms around it?
Lorella, do you want to take that? What do you advise your authors to do?
I mean, I would say the first thing is, you know, remember copyright is in what's written, is not in ideas. So you can have the most brilliant idea until you actually put pen to paper. That's what, you know, is copyrighted. So, and people can have different ideas at the same time. You know, something happens in the news and you laugh, you know, it's actually, it goes in cycles. You might, something happens, and all of a sudden you have so many books written about the same subject. So I think whatever you send out with your name on it and your idea, it's not just your idea. Loads of people will have that idea, but what's making that Scott's idea that somebody else can't replicate? So what you're offering is not just an idea, it's what your contribution is to the idea. How you're going to add, given your background, where do you want to take that idea? Because if me and you, it's the same thing. If we are asked to write about today's date, or we are to ask about this last, we'll come up with different things. And that's the thing that can be copyrighted. I'm just quite open all the time. I say to authors, just don't, and people don't really steal in books. You can't really do that. I mean, I've been in situations, sometimes not particularly nice, when you think an author said, well, they have stolen the idea, we send the proposal, somebody doesn't make an offer, and all of a sudden later they have. There have been cases like that, but you can't prove anything. You know, it may well be that that somebody else is having an idea at the same time. The only thing is, make it so unique that only you can write that book.
But by and large, those instances, and I've suffered from it once or twice in my career, they're few and far between.
Yes.
The only time piracy arises is after the book's been published, and, you know, then there is a problem around piracy the world over, both in printed and in digital form, which publishers are assiduously working with government agencies to try and deal with. Publishers Association works with the police here in dealing with that, as a matter of fact. So I think in the business book idea, if there is something so precious, then you think it could be ripped off, then I would just restrict it to the few rather than the many. That's just a practical common sense thing to do, but in the main, I would say it wouldn't, but it's an honourable profession, and I haven't come across widespread ripping off of ideas in my career.
Indeed, sharing the idea early can help in terms of obviously feedback and refining and developing something that really starts landing. It's like the whole lean startup sort of model, but for writing process and the publishing process, you know, you want your sort of, you know, your feedback, you want your minimum viable product, and you continually pivot, and then you're going to get a better final book. But also through that, you're going to create hopefully a movement, a sense of momentum, and you know, more ideas, and more in some ways, the more people in you can draw into that space, even if ultimately there are some other books that attack similar ideas or themes, that's great, as long as you're owning a particular part of that. It sort of lifts everyone, you know.
We did run across a copyright issue in the very first year of the Business Book of the Year Award. I'd better not say which book, but we did present the shortlisted books to those who attended the final prize, and the day of the prize giving, the publisher of one of the books contacted us and said that the cover was an alleged infringement of copyright, and so every book had to have the cover taken off and special stickers applied instead. Igor Pejic, your proposal is called Blockchain Babel. What do you have as a question for the panel?
Yes, it's a bit related to what Scott also asked, this phase of looking for an agent or looking for a publisher, namely exclusivity. So is it okay to send it out to multiple publishers, multiple agents, or should I just send it out to one and then say, please respond within, I don't know, X weeks, or how do you see that?
Obviously, I think, again, it depends. When you do your research, you will make a short list of the people. And I think it's not fiction when you need a lot more time to read the whole thing. I think if you are, even just an email, from the email you see what reaction you're getting from people. And I think if you, everyone probably likes to receive material exclusively, but that can take time. So my advice is make a short selection of the people you really want to work with and why, you know, have in your mind why. And see what reaction you get at that point. And if you're giving anyone exclusivity, I think it's only fair to ask, you know, put a time limit on it, whether it's publishers or agents, or, you know, I think that's all. But, you know, sometimes even as agents, you might just send the book less these days. But, you know, if you know that that book is absolutely perfect for a specific editor, you might want to give that editor a head start and just say, well, I'll give it to you. But you have to be really sure that that book will be perfect for that. But I would just say, make a short list, do your research, and just see what happens. But you do want to get a sense of a response as well. That will give you an idea of also how much what you have is kind of worth.
And if Igor does a multiple submission to agents, he should make it clear.
I think you should make it clear. Yes, I think it's always good to make it clear. And I actually, when that happens, I always I'm very happy if they send to me exclusively to give, you know, a time limit. But I also, in some situations, because I do think also my time is limited, I don't want to be in beauty context with other agents. But not because I don't like competition. It's just because I think if you've done enough research about me and what and maybe we are conversation, and before we start actually working on a proposal, and I'll give you a lot of feedback and my time. Remember, agents only pay the commission, so you know they can do all the work. But if the book doesn't get sold, they don't. So I would say it's courtesy just to say I'm submitting to other agents. You don't have to say who else, but I think it's just
one final question for the panel. We obviously. All our panelists have an interest in saying that going through bona fide publishers and agents is the right way to go. But what about self-publishing? What's the kind of current state of play in terms of a decision that says, OK, I haven't managed to make this work for individual publishers, I'm going to go down the self-publishing route for business books?
Yeah, I mean, it's very viable now. Mm-hmm. And there are some excellent, you know, there's also a sort of halfway house. Operate, you know, there's something like Unbound where you can crowdfund your book.
Yes, like a subscription model.
Yeah. And we're increasingly, you know, there's been a couple of books that I've taken on in the last year that have started out self-published, or the author's published a short book themselves using Amazon, and actually shown through that there is an audience and that they've been able to get some momentum, some traction. And we've then, you know, taken that and seen that we can build on that and grow it to a much broader audience. But no, I think it's very, very viable, especially in areas where the author knows they have a particularly strong but niche audience.
And that happened with Kiyosaki. He started self-publishing. Mm. Time Warner decided to buy the audio rights, and that was how we created the relationship with Robert, and then we took over his publishing for about a decade. So
it does work.
It does work, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to wrap up this this fascinating discussion, although there's much more that we could talk about. A couple of the things I've taken away for it: you can, as we were just saying, self-published. You can also go direct to publishers. With all due respect to Lorella, you don't always need an agent. You need to know what your own special contribution is, what's the uncopyable part of what you're writing about. And as David suggested, you need to really live your book and make sure that you're promoting the idea yourself. You can read more about the Brackenbauer Prize at ft.com/Brackenbauer. This year's contest is now closed, but we will be running a prize again next year for those who have book proposals they would like to see that, getting covered. And about the Business Book of the Year Award, you can go to ft.com/bookaward and read more about that. I'm Andrew Hill. Thank you very much for listening.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.